that was my show last today. I feel like I'm not supposed to dance or something. I mean, I don't. You can bring it down. Thank you. Family matters. We're going to talk about family for about 8 weeks, and just excited up to Easter, in fact. And so excited about Easter. Started working on my Easter messages this week and getting those ready for you. But we want to take care of a family matter this morning. And I just want to ask Richard to come up. We were going to do this at the end, but I can't do this at the end, Richard. Come on up, Deb, you come with him. And we just appreciate Richard Luck. And of course, y'all know when we celebrated Debbie, she worked with me and for me for 20 more years. So long we can't remember. Two decades. And of course, Richard, y'all met here 30 years. 30 years. And they were in transition. Their in-laws have moved in with them. Well, Debbie, Richard's in-laws. Anyway, they built or moved into a home that has a mother-in-law's quarters. And they are going to be making sure that Debbie's mom and dad get to church and taken care of in their later years. And there's, so many memories with you guys and with your family, especially your son and your family. Many of you know me, right? Heard Dad say my banking more than once back in the early days. And it took this church and a lot of churches pretty Bill for Bill. Joanne Delaney, dynamic woman of God, was our witness director when we came years ago. And Bill passed, and some little time ago now, several years ago, given his heart to Jesus Christ. He insists on going to his church. And I thank y'all for taking. And we typically, when folks are transitioning, we pray for them at the end of the service. This man's service 30 years. You know, let's say this. And I can talk forever, Richard. Was this an emotional moment for he and I? There is nobody that has served longer, more committed, and more faithful with his time, with his skills, with his money, in the kingdom, and in this church for the last 30 years than Brent Stoney. Kids, I could go on and on and on. He's raised me, raised a lot of Cain, and everybody that knows him has touched your life in a mighty way. And you must be an honor where honor is due. And we could never give Richard Luckett enough honor for his service to this church. And his best years are ahead. His best years are ahead. He's old enough and wise enough to have his best life. So if you would extend a hand to Richard, and I brought Debbie in, but I wanted to make it mostly all about him today. Is that okay? Number one, you'll always be with him. Lord, we thank you for Richard and Debbie Luckett, for they have modeled what Christian service and commitment should look like to us and our children. preacher as he comes. What we talk about the next phase, a new phase of life. And I pray that you would continue to strengthen him, guide him, and anoint him to continue to do what you've called him to do. And so, Lord, I just pray that he would sense in his heart the honor that's flowing from the throne of God this morning to his life. As for him and his household, they will serve the Lord. Today is his family, and once family, always family. Once family, always family. We will all serve the Lord together. Lord, we bless you today in Jesus' name. Always be safe.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Now, you do need to pray for his golf game. It needs a little help. We can, you know, of course, he was here 30 years. I went here 23 or 4 in the spring. We prayed for his golf game, and it still never got better. Bill can give his heart to Christ, Richard's golf game, may come along. One of the first times I met, he'd come down to Casa Grande where I was at, and there's so many stories about it. Just to check me out. He wasn't sure about the picture on the resume. Because he was on the board at that time. And he leaves the board. You were on the board when I got here and never stepping aside. But he had to drive all the way to Casa Grande. And I think I bought that lunch. I don't even think he bought that lunch. I got all the lunch. And we ate a hamburger and got to know each other even before I came here. He had the men's ministry established when I came. And that had been something that on his heart, and that's been his passion every day that I've known him as a man's ministries. And so, Richard, thanks again. I love you, appreciate you. You and Debbie will always be family to Darwin. Nothing changes here. So, praise the Lord. Family matters, everybody. We're going to have to, just a little bit of information before I minister this morning. I'm going to have to short my message. Your roast is going to burn. I'm going to burn your roast. We did finally get our sound here again. We're going to have to set up a demonstration. But today, if you're wearing hearing aids, and a number of you are, you can program your hearing aid now into our system. And hear every word I say nice and clear. We did test it Thursday. We're excited about that. We will try to unpack some more information and maybe do some demonstrations for you. And we're thankful that we finally got that done. Also, you can start your advisory council nominees. We have a business meeting right around the corner. I hope you see that. And praise the Lord. Family matters. Who's ever heard of Rent-A-Family? Anybody? Oh, Pastor Jill. Have you really? That girl, she's always one step ahead of me. There is actually businesses now called Rent-A-Family. Yeah, I mean, anything's possible, right? And this actually didn't start in the good old U.S. of A. It started in Japan, of all places. And the reason they started it is because families lived apart, families living around the world. They're a very busy society, as are we. And so this lady came up with the idea of Rent-A-Family. It was a lady that missed her family that had come up with the idea. She never got to see family. She never got to see her kids, her grandkids, etc. And so she started a business, and people started using this business. And it was especially used for elderly folks that were a little isolated, maybe retired. And actually, in rent-a-family, you can rent. I don't think I'm teasing, but this is really, it's true. You can rent a grandchild, a grandbaby, aunt, an uncle. And this has been a few years ago. 3 hours with the family member of your choice, you can rent for one low price of $1,130 for 3 hours plus transportation. And these people are knocking it out of the ballpark, making all kinds of. They ask their customers why they enjoy it so much. And the one central answer that the customers are giving is they are so hungry for human love and relationship, they're willing to rent a family member, so to speak, just so they can be in relationship and intimacy and love with others. I wonder this morning if a renter mentality or an owner mentality. I'd just like to say this. We had a membership class of new members that are saying, I'm going to own it. I'm going to be part of the Rock Church family. We want this to be a team that's in mission, but one of our core values is that you're single without kids and you can be part of the family. And I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes we transition as families. Y'all just witnessed one of the most powerful family moments. Moving on even the right way. Where there's a real love and care and concern and history. Hey, Richard, when we got in this relationship 30 or 23 or 4, when I came in, it wasn't a rent. It wasn't a rental deal. We owned it. We owned our relationship with each other. We owned our commitments together. We owned what we did together. We owned it when we hurt together. We owned it when we celebrated together. We owned it when we laughed together. We owned it. Might not have been greater. You bought stuff, but we owned it because we were family together. Family. You're going to have good seasons and bad seasons and happy seasons and sad seasons. Mentality in America when it comes to family. We hop from church to church, or we get tired of our wife and we leave her, or we get tired of our husband. Tough, or we work so hard we never see our children. Can I get a witness out there? And God's calling us to be owners. Owners in our marriages. Owners in our home. Owners in our home. Owners in our church. Can I get an amen? Sometimes we laugh. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we fight. Sometimes we fuss. And we stay together. We go through thick and thin. 1 Samuel chapter 30. About 8 verses 1 through 8. Alone. After I read it, did you know David was a family man? Left his family, and we pick up here. David has been now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked the servant and had taken captive women and everyone else in it, both young way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed, taken captive. Whoa. Can you imagine that? So David and his family went out, left for a week. Just going to read a few more verses, but they come home from a day's work, and the family's gone. He's lost his family. Until it was too late. Broken. They cried so hard they couldn't cry anymore. Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. 8 verses. David was greatly distressed because the men, now listen to this, calling him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. David's lost his family. The men that are working with David and fighting with David, going to church with David and worshiping God with David and finding that. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Now they've lost their families and they're all blaming David. And so now they're ready to stone. And now they're ready to kill David. Because they're blaming him. Now watch this. You got to get that echo out for me. Thank you. Because I found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the man of God still there, said, "Call to him." And David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I pursue them?" The Lord answered, "Pursue them," he answered. "You will certainly..." Almighty God cares about family. Jesus Christ cares about family. Where you are with your family members, and it's probably a little bit of this and a little bit of that, as it is with us. They may have been raided. They may have been taken by the enemy. They may even be... But I still believe, as for us and our household, they will serve the Lord and will do this morning. You see, David Paul. Saul, the king. David had already been anointed king. He had been almost 30 years, 20-some odd years, from the time he was found out there and running. He's wandering in the desert. He's wandering toward his destiny. A couple of things this morning. He was teaching David how to survive in the wilderness. It's going to be a wilderness. And he was teaching him how to fight. He started when he was a little boy. He was killing lions and bears. And he was learning from Saul. Because Saul was trying to do what? He was trying to kill him. The king that he... So he had to learn from it. I mean, he went from the pasture field to the palace back to depend on God. If we're going to stand in the gap for our families that God's promised to be, we're going to have to take on a warrior's heart and we're going to have to learn. It's so true. David did this so many times when he... A good idea of what's going on. If you want to go back and read 3 or 4 chapters, we don't have time to... David, he made a deal with the... I still got a major echo. And David made a deal with the Philistines because they knew what a warrior he was. Actually, the Philistines hire David and his... David goes to work for Israel's enemy. Amazing. Ziklag. He gets back from battle. David suffered the loss of everything that he held dear. David lost it all while serving the ungodly. To watch the vineyard of others, David lost... A terrible alliance. A lot of trouble. Let me tell you what. Alliance with the world and the world's ways will always bring you a lot of trouble. And family has to be the priority. So let's look at a few principles here. We'll be healed today because of the number of wonderful things that we did earlier. But I won't preach any longer. Let's look at some of the things David did. Because that's some of the things we could trust himself in the Lord. Let me just take a poll. And everybody be honest. I'm going to go for it. Look around. Oh, keep them up. Look around. How we do this? Okay, we're all in the same. First thing it says about David is he strengthened and encouraged himself in the Lord. Many less than as a dad, less than even as a friend, less than. We feel like maybe we let our family down, and then we begin to lose our family. We begin to lose our children. The Lord, God's grace is sufficient. The power of the Holy Spirit wants to get involved in raising our families. Those family matters, and this family thing can be tough. So we strengthen ourselves. Get ready, because we're going to hit some scriptures pretty quick. How do I do that? Well, it's twofold. Number one, a basic principle. You've got to remember who you are. In 1 Peter 2,
uncle, church member, whoever you are, if you've got Jesus Christ in your life, holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare to praise Him, darkness into His wonderful life. That's who we are. I'm a child of God. We belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I want to know. Hey. Then that's who you are. Who you are. And He loves you anyway. I tell you, if you get saved and have eternal life, who wants to spend eternity in hell? Not me. Not anybody. I don't belong. The scripture says, except through Him. His grace is sufficient, it says, because His power is made perfect. It says all those things. And some of you may need forgiveness. And I'm asking you to ask, for you to ask Jesus Christ into your heart. Make Him repent, Jesus. I confess I've fallen short, Jesus. Come into my heart, Jesus, and you're your partner, because family matters. Jesus will not only give you, and if you've lost your family this morning, the scripture tells me He's at the right. But you got to know who you are. Say, number two, you got to remember who God is. Wow, that's about 16. Has temptation ever come your way? Did I say that? Interesting person who lies. Thank you for temptation. No temptation has overtaken you, somewhat is common to mankind and beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so you can endure it. I know it comes. We can have victory. When the devil comes at you, we can remember Isaiah 4 and 17. It says this, no weapon formed against you will prosper. It reads me, I am a servant of God. When the enemy comes, when the enemy has pulled your family away, one, remember who you are. You're a holy priest. Number two, remember who He is and use the scripture. Pray the scripture. Family, a curveball. Have you had any curveballs lately? Have you had one of those knuckle curves? I call them headshots. We've been hit in the head in family situations before. Sometime, nothing hurts worse than getting hit in the head. Who God is in us, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, who's strong for Him. I can be a great church member. I can be a strong man, but Uncle Pastor, I can go on. You feel less than or a failure. Remember the scripture from 1 Corinthians 1:27 that says, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. That's you, and Jesus wins! I use that scripture all the time. Dear Lord, I'm glad you chose the foolish things of the world. It's finance. Only their accent's worse than mine. Now, wait a minute! We love our accent, don't we? He's starting off like this. Number two, David inquired of the Lord. Matthew 6 and 9 and 10. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hey, y'all, a lot of you know that. But that's a good prayer. Jesus said this is the way you should pray, okay? In the Lord all you want. You strengthen yourself in the Lord all you want. And we need to do that on a regular basis. You've got to pray for the will of God in your life and in your family's life. You've got to. You see, David had been a mighty warrior, was still a mighty warrior, had fought many battles, and went now everything's been wiped out while he was at work. He's strengthening himself in Jesus. He's anointed to be king. He's got battle experience. He understands. He knows how to lead his men. Why? Strategy. Maybe one of the best strategists walking the earth's back. Come on, y'all hear what I'm saying? See, you need to get us. But then there's other things you've got to hear from the Holy Spirit. The book won't tell you which way to go. What school did I take my kids to? How about, and I, the questions go on and on and on. Parents, you need a strategy. It's a lot of our children need to inquire of God on a regular basis for our children and grandchildren and aunts and uncles and grandparents. Stand in the gap. Don't you want to stand in the gap on your family? I guarantee you many of the mantle of family, a lot of them lost. They've been carried off by the enemy. We need a plan. We need a battery. There's a lot of other ways. Those folks down the road may be doing it that way. Somebody else may do it. Own your situation and get a hold of God till you hear from God. If it's the right idea, it's your get a hold of it. Ooh. David, get a hold of God. Let me tell you something. It ain't always preaching to him or at him. I will guarantee you that. You'll preach. Some of our kids don't need another sermon. Live it out before them. Preach a sermon for them. Nobody knows better than our children if we're too double-minded, tossed to the power of the Holy Spirit in your own heart and an ability to really live out the will of God. Build a bridge to them. We're always trying to get them to build a bridge. Every religion in the world except Christianity says you have to get to God. We have to work our way to God. You have to come to God. Be good enough to get to God. Christianity said God built a bridge so that you and I could have salvation. I guess he's the best leader I've ever known. He built the bridge to right where we are. He came to our world. You in your world. Go to their world and take your world with you. I'll take that. Couldn't find a picture. I looked so hard for a picture. That being grandparents is awesome. If I got grandparents, I already have plans for my grandchildren. Candy-fed, chocolate-fed, and let their parents worry about all that. Is that functional or crazy grandpa? That's another plan I have. I already planned on just to keep everybody guessing. That's a true story. 8-year-old just having a fit in the playpen. He walks in the room. There's his little grandbaby just squalling. What was grandpa going to do? Out! Papa! Out! Between the tears, I take my grandma and run back. Playpen, and that's called mama. Jeff is in there for a reason. Don't get him out of there. He's in that thing there for a reason. He's misbehaved. Head! What's grandpa going to do? I can see some of your grandpas feel a little confused. And your daughter's going to kill you. What are you going to do, Tom? And I can't believe it. He's got my heart loves me. And gets up out of sits down. And so now what are you in for? Strategy. And lastly, David pursued then and fought the enemy. On God's way, you got to find God's way, not your way. You got to find God's way, not in the flesh. You've got to fight in the spirit for your family. And That's culture using the word of God. Of course, we find it in prayer. But you have to be intentional. You have to take time. If you're going to have a good family in the family, it takes a lot of effort, emotional effort, mental effort, spiritual effort, physical effort. It takes a lot of effort and intentionality. But the enemy is carrying our families off in droves around our country. And we, the people of Christ, have been called to reach them and bring them back into safety, into the kingdom, which David was able to do later. We don't have time to read it. But part of that is you must be willing to change. You also have to be willing to change as God deals with you. I guarantee you, David had to make changes. Because you're going to make mistakes. Does everybody in here know you're going to make mistakes? Come on, let me see your hands. As a parent, as a father, then quit pretending you don't. When you make a mistake, say, I'm sorry. That's God's way. Live with integrity and live with character by the grace of Jesus Christ. That's God's way. Love all the time. Love unconditionally. Love will always find a way. That's God's way. You've got to listen. If your children are small, they get up. You've got to listen. That's God's way. You've got to validate. That's God's way. You've got to lead. That's God's way. You've got to shepherd. That's God's way. You've got to serve your family. You've got to serve your family. You've got to serve. And that's more than going off to work 12 hours a day. Although we need to do that. But you may lose your family while you're off to work 12 hours. Serve it. Because when you do things on God's term, God's ways, Jesus never failed. The enemy is defeated. Whatever has taken my family will work out the good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His family. If your family's broken, I believe that your family will recover. Somebody give me an amen. God, if it's broken, I believe Jesus Christ can restore all things and renew all things in the context of family. I've seen it over and over and over. And I close with this short story. In the old days up and down the Mississippi River, you would see paddle boats. They were steamboats fired with coal. You get the picture. Actually, you can go out to Canyon Lake or Saguaro Lake, and you can still get on there. They're kind of faint paddle boats. They're gas powered, but they still got. They used to be steam powered. A couple of paddle boats left Memphis, Tennessee at the same time, and they got out on the river. Mississippi's maybe wide in places, but they were fairly close, like from wall to wall. Both headed to New Orleans, and so the guys working on the ships got to taunting one another, and they decided they would race to New Orleans, and they made bets and wagers, and the race was on. As these two paddle boats raced through the deep south from Memphis, Tennessee to New Orleans, one boat began to fall behind. Now, the reason the boat was falling behind is they were running out of coal. They were running by coal. My grandfather's house was heated by coal. And so it began to fall behind, but one of the sailors saw that the coal was gone and they were falling behind. And so he said, we're out of coal, but we got plenty of cargo. So they started burning everything, because it was a big wager. So they started burning everything on the ship. They made it a priority to burn everything on the ship. To win the race. That's what they did. They began to burn furnishings and all the different things they were carrying, all the cargo, everything, anything. And you know what? They ended up, that particular boat ended up winning the race, but they burned all the cargo. The boat ended up winning the race, but lost all the cargo. We can get so caught up running. great grace, even for the Lord, that we lose all we call children, spouses, friends, church friends. You can win the argument and lose your child. It's not about winning the argument. You can have, we need to gather children, and this is one of the consequences. You don't know that. I don't know that. Don't fall that out. But dad, mom, husband, wife, church member, you can have it your way, and that's what you will have if you're not careful. But it's all you will have. Let's fight for our families. Let's stand on behalf of our families. Let's strengthen and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Let's make sure we keep God, family, ministry, Lord. Let's make sure we have the right priority. I can look at your day runner or your pocketbook if I know where you're at in the Lord. Wherever you put in your time, it's rich for you. Your skill sets and talent is rich for you. Your money is rich for you. Wherever that goes and wherever you have that priority, we'll tell you where you're at. But if you'll do it God's way and pray for a strategy for your family, God's way, God will do miraculous things. Amen. I want you to stand with me this morning as I worship in the house. If you have children,